Well, as I have already said, today is Father's Day. I'm out of town for a couple of days, and I'm going back out of town at the end of the day today. The National Baptist Convention is in Detroit next week, and I'll be down there. So I'm on vacation. I'm kind of taking it easy. So this will be kind of a easy one today. But our lesson will come from the fourth chapter of Galatians, verses 4 through 7. And in our bulletin, it's on page what? 4. Usually we start on page 4, right? Reads as follows. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody here might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The most important job in the world is to be a father. I say this for a very good reason. Fatherhood is the job that God took for himself. Jesus' first recorded utterance in Luke 2:49 says, And Jesus said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? God designates himself as the Heavenly Father, and it is intuitively obvious that God would only give himself the most important of responsibilities to carry out. God, however, is a special kind of father. God is not the natural father of his children on the earth. While God is the creator, we of the human race that are born on the earth are born in sin. Psalm 51 and 5 says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Jesus, when talking to the unregenerate scribes and Pharisees, said in John 8 and 44, You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, therefore, we are born children of the devil. This is the explanation for the fact that we are lost unless something happens to bring us to the Lord. People are not born good and then become bad. People are born bad and then get worse unless something happens or someone intervenes in their life. Now, the best way for someone to intervene in the life of a person is for a father to do it while the person is still a child. God tells fathers in Ephesians 6 and 4 not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, the only way that we can become children of God is by adoption. In our text, Galatians 4, 4, and 7, the Lord explains how we become children of God. It says, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, think of the love that a father has for an adopted child. An adopted child is a child that has no natural bond to his adopted father. A child that usually comes with problems, with baggage, with a past. Adoption is usually a remedial activity made necessary because the child's natural parents have either decided not to care for their own child, or their negative circumstances have made it impossible for them to care for their own child. Your own newborn baby comes to you as a clean slate, but adopted children generally come with some bad marks on them that have to be erased. Now, because of our sin nature, we come to God with some pretty bad marks. But when God adopts us, he washes us clean of those things that mar our image and gives us a new heart that allows us to function in his family. So God is our Heavenly Father, and we are his adopted children. Now, since God took on the role of fatherhood, fatherhood must be pretty important. Let's look at some of the roles of a father. Number one, fathers provide. Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Before God called Abraham, Abraham was pretty well provided for already. He lived in a split-level tent with a four-camel garage in Ur of the Chaldees. But life will be better in the land to which the Lord leads us, he told his family. So off they went. When they asked, where will we live? Abraham answered, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. And God did. When they went down to Egypt, the Pharaoh took Sarah because of Abraham's lies. They found themselves in an Egyptian scandal, and the people wondered, how will we get out of this trouble? Abraham knew, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. And the Lord did. When they split up the land, and nephew Lot took the grassland and left Uncle Abraham with the rocks, the people wondered, how will we survive? Abraham knew the answer. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. And he did. When Abraham and Sarah stood next to the empty crib and wondered how Abraham would ever be the father of thousands, he put his arm around her and whispered, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And God did. And Abraham bounced his firstborn, Isaac, on his 100-year-old bony knees. Abraham learned that God provides, but even Abraham must have shook his head when God asked him to sacrifice his own son on Mount Moriah. Up the mountain they went. Where is the lamb we will burn as a sacrifice? Abraham's son Isaac asked in Genesis 22:7. One wonders how the answer made it past the lump in Abraham's throat. God will give us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham tied up his son and placed him on the altar and raised the knife, and the angel stayed his hand. Abraham had proved his faith. He heard a rustling in the thicket and saw a ram caught by his horns in the bush. He offered it as a sacrifice and gave the mountain a name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. As I said, on Mother's Day, mom's job is to make it better. However, mom cannot make it better unless dad brings her the raw materials to make it in the first place. Mom's job is to put icing on the cake. Dad's job is to buy the sugar and the flour. Fathers provide. Fathers also lead. David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As David faced Goliath, God was leading him. As David fled from Saul, God was leading him. As David consolidated the kingdom of Israel, God was leading him. As David fled from his son who was trying to take over the kingdom, God was leading him. As David was providing Solomon with the things required for building God's temple, God was leading him. David, who was the most successful king ever in Israel, was the most led person in Israel. He grew up leading sheep and lived by following the good shepherd. Fathers lead. Fathers give. A good father goes beyond providing and leading. Providing and leading are the natural jobs of a father, but a good father goes beyond that. Look at our situation. God provided us this planet to live on. This planet has all the things that we need for long and healthy life. God gave us the ability to use the resources of this planet, not just to live here, but to live and be comfortable. God even gives us the instructions as to how to maximize our potential on the planet. God gave us the resources. God gave us the intelligence. God gave us the instructions. What did we give God in return? Rebellion. Dad, can you relate? In spite of all your providing and teaching, did your child go astray? Child, can you relate? How many times have you ignored your father's good counsel and broken his heart? In spite of rebellion, fathers give. All children do not receive, but fathers still give. In the 15th chapter of Luke, starting with verse 11, the Bible says this, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the brother was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with your friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your living with harlots, came, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I thank God I was never in the situation of the prodigal son. I never had to go home to Dad to get a new suit of clothes and some shoes. He prepared me for the world and then told me, if you go to school and get a good education, you can get a good job and you won't have to work hard. As things go, I never had a physically difficult position in the work world. I was personally never the prodigal son. I had a brother who was. Mom and Dad had to care for him for most of his adult life. He wasn't a bad son, really, but he had a mental condition that made him unable to function in the society without medicine, and he hated to take the medicine. Mom and Dad cared for him and let him come back home right up until the end. Even when Dad was not in the situation for being responsible for my brother, Dad gave anyway. I thank God for my earthly father. However, you may be in the situation that your earthly father has forsaken you. Earthly fathers sometimes leave their wives and fail to support their children. It may be that your earthly father has not earned the greeting of Happy Father's Day because of his lack of leading and providing. It may be that your earthly father has disappointed you time and time again, as earthly fathers sometimes do. It may be that when you hear the words Happy Father's Day, there is no feeling, but just a hole in your heart. Change your perspective. Your Heavenly Father sent you out on this journey with all the possessions that you would need to be successful, and He is still looking over you. He sees you experience hardships in this life, but He has a robe for you as soon as you can make it back home. He sees you experience rejection and a lack of love, but He has a ring for your finger as soon as you can make it back home. He sees that your road is rough and that the going is tough, but He has sandals for your feet as soon as you can make it back home. Your Father has a party ready for you as soon as you can make it back home. How do I know this? Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God not only gives us the things of this world that will make our lives comfortable on this planet, but He also gives us the most important thing, that is, He Himself. You see, when God looked at the situation with man, He recognized that the Old Testament patriarchs were not enough. After all of God's interaction with man in the Old Testament, the sum total of man's effort to meet God's standards was zero. Romans 3:10 and 23 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that is the case of man. None of us are worthy of what the Father has given us. But one day out on a hill that they call Calvary, God gave His Son to make it all right. God gave His Son. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And fathers give. So on Father's Day today, fathers, it's good to receive a present, but keep in mind that fathers give. And we have to give. And we have to continue to give as long as we're on this side. I left a man just the other day who's still giving to his family. My son and I went down to Chicago because Paul had some need for some more capitalization in his country, in his company. His grandfather just wrote him out a check. He said, here, this will help you with your business. He's still giving. It's great to have a father who will give, but for all the giving that he has done, all of the precious information that he has given me is not as precious as what Jesus did on a hill called Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as our text says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ Jesus. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your being our Heavenly Father. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your leading. And we thank you for your giving, because when provision and leading were not enough, you gave what it took to carry us to the place that we needed to be. Now we pray for fathers everywhere today, particularly here, but everywhere else as well. Help us, Lord, to live up to the responsibility that you have shown us. Help us, Lord, to love our wives even as Christ has loved the church and given himself for it. Help us to give ourselves for our families in every regard and in every way, that at the end of the journey we might be able to hear your voice say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Come up and I will make you ruler over many. Lord, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your teaching today. We pray, Lord, traveling mercies for all that are in the house. Now we thank you for all these things, Lord, and most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Go. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for today that we were able to get together once again. You've given us health and strength, right mind, vision, hearing, and all the things that we need to come out to the house of prayer once again. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you have kept us since the last time we met, that we're still able to function. We can remember, we can think, we can hear, we can learn. And we just want to thank you, Lord, because there's some that can't do that. There's some folks that don't have the opportunity to go to school and learn, to go to work and earn. There's some folks that don't have the capacity, even though they have the opportunity, but they don't have the right mind that you have given us to do the things that we get a chance to do every day. So we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you how you've intervened in our lives, that when we were living life backwards, you turned us around, pointed us in the right direction, planted our feet on solid ground, and sent us down the path to do that which you would have us to do. And help us to remember that, Lord, as we go through our week, that we might live lives that will be pleasing in your sight. Now, Lord, we pray for those who we have talked about today, for all of them. I'm not going to name them today, Lord. I'm just going to ask you we know that you listen to our conversations. And we ask you, Lord, to intercede in the need where need arises, and to help those who are ill, and to give comfort to those who are in bereavement, Lord. Give strength to those who are on sick beds. We ask you, Lord, to occupy these young children's minds and continue to help them to behave in school and to learn and to grow in grace and in knowledge and to be better little children. Help them to honor their fathers and their mothers, that their days might be long on the land that you have given them. Lord, we pray for Sister Allen as she goes to the jail. Lord, we ask you to give her traveling mercies and to keep her safe as she goes out there. And we ask you, Lord, that you would let her be some use to those people who are incarcerated. Give her a word to say that will prick their minds and their hearts. Help her to bring them into a saving knowledge of you by her efforts and by her ministry there. And Lord, we just pray that all of the many people about whom she is concerned, that next week they would have good reports, that things would have gone better for them, that they would have praise reports. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would give her an environment where the people are doing well, that she might be able to lift her own spirits and live in a place where she can recover from all of her illnesses and stay away from so much negativity. Lord, we pray for our students, Lord. They're learning and they're growing, and we ask you to give them a mind like a steel trap, that when a concept is presented to them, that they might just take it in, be able to understand it, and be able to give it back to the teacher at the appointed time so that they will get high academic rewards and high marks in school. We pray for the parents who are raising these children, and we ask you, Lord, to give them the wisdom to be able to not provoke them to wrath, but train them in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. And, Lord, we pray for those of us who are old and retired and just hanging around trying to help. Help us, Lord, to do some things for other people that will help them and help us to have comfortable days in our last and evil days. Now, Lord, we pray for the church as well. Help me, Lord, as I go out to get some refreshing and some retraining, that when I come back I will be able to walk through the neighborhood and touch people and bring them in and grow this place. Help us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for my wife, who is the love of my life, and I pray for my son as well, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to bless him as he is out there trying to grow his business. We pray for all, Lord, that need help today. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and he told Peter that that in a few hours Peter would be in the shape that he was denying him, denying that he even knew Jesus. He said, "If before the cock crows twice, you will deny three times that you know me." Peter said, "Lord, I will never deny you." But Jesus turned out to be right. We live in a world where we have ample opportunity to deny Jesus. Something's always happening that challenges our faith and brings us to the point where we have a chance to decide whether we know the Lord or not, not just by our words, but by our actions. We take this sacrament today so that we can remember about Jesus, because we don't want to deny him regardless of the cost. We want to always acknowledge and remember him regardless of where we are. So as you take this today, think about all the situations and circumstances that you might be in where Christianity does not seem to be appropriate to your peers, and just remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. Remember to always hold up the bloodstained banner for him, even in those situations where it doesn't seem so prudent, as we eat and drink together.